The bulletin welcomes Angela Oosterman and Patricia Raymond from the International Study Group, an association of mainly women of different nationalities who organise lectures and other activities in and around Brussels. Celebrating its 60th anniversary this year, the ISG has published a book, Amazing Women, relating life stories of women from three different generations. Welcome, Angela and Patricia. Can we start by you telling me a little bit of background information to the ISG?
Absolutely. It started, in fact, in 1960. And it was its birth happened in the American Women's Club of Brussels at the time, when there were many, many Americans in Brussels, and they had a large membership, probably around about 1,000 people. Anyway, six of these women decided that they wanted to broaden their horizons outside of the American community and start to get to know their host country and to get in touch with other international people living in Brussels. So their first meeting took place in one of their homes, and there were six of them. The second meeting, there were 18 of them. And then by the time, a few years had passed, they had over 100 people. So they had to put a limit on it of 135 because they couldn't fit these people into each other's homes. So that was really the start of it. And they also used to meet in various local places, like if they knew about a chateau that could rent a room and that sort of thing, or an embassy that was willing to host them. And they did that until the early 90s, when they moved into the clubhouse in Avenue des Érables. The American Women's Club had bought a property, and in the 90s, they had it a conversion done, and they added a conference room. And that's where we met up until 2017. But during that time, the ISG had become a totally separate part. It became an affiliate of the American Women's Club rather than part of it. And we've had our own committee members and so on and so forth for a long time. And really, that was the start of it. And first of all, they relied on people they knew, contacts of contacts, but for speakers. But nowadays, we're much more efficient.
To the next question, actually. You mentioned your growing membership. Now, how many members do you have now? And can you tell me a little bit about them and their backgrounds?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nearly 90 members. And I just counted again today. We have 19 different nationalities. There is a majority Belgians, but we have all kinds of, including Colombian, and other really many different nationalities, Israeli, and of course also American, but German. So yes, we are now in 86 members, and nearly every month lately we have been adding new members. We have, however, also members that have died recently. Our average age, no, I don't want to say average age. The youngest is probably the mid-50s, and the oldest who just died was 97. So we are mostly women who are retired in the majority. This is why we can also afford to meet on Monday mornings for our talks. But we are all women of broad interest, let's say. So we do have our main attraction is the program, but we also do have social activities, but I'm sure we will speak about this more.
Yes, that's right, because one of your main activities is a lecture program, isn't it?
That's right.
Topics. I was looking at it and it was, I was quite impressed by the sheer variety. Can you give some examples of lectures that are coming up this season?
Okay, we just and we, our last lecture will and we think is made is very interesting. We had one with Stefan Grobe, who is in the Euronews in an office, and he spoke about fake news and fact checking. That was very interesting. We had very lively discussions about that afterwards. Next, we have now we have our break over the holidays. And in January, we have somebody who speaks about the Brussels Da Vinci Code, which is an interesting and slightly mysterious story. And then we speak about Joe Biden's first year as president with a speaker from Democrats abroad. And then we have another political speaker to speak about transatlantic relations. And then we go, this is our another of our favorites, apart from the art as well. We have somebody speaking about our microbiome, which is, and the title is Our Microbiome, Our Second Brain, you know. And in May, we have forest therapy. So you see, it's quite a wide range. And usually in September, we start out with something pretty, so to speak, about with art, you know, like this year we had a speaker tell a talk about the Concours Reine Elisabeth, which was really wonderful. The background of it, you know, everybody knows the front, and this was the background, how they select, how the jury works, and so forth.
That sounds great. I also noticed that you feature a lot of exhibitions as well. I mean, you organise visits to exhibitions such as the Hockney or the Banksy, which leads me into, you know, what other activities do you organise as well, in addition to the lectures and the talks?
Well, once a year, or even a couple of times a year, if the occasion comes up, we organise a visit to an exhibition. And one of the most memorable that I can remember was the Living Tomorrow exhibition, which is near Vilvoorde. And in fact, I looked at their website again this morning, and I'm going to suggest to our next board meeting that we consider going there again, because we went to the Living Tomorrow exhibition of about 5 years ago, when the house then was full of innovative ideas. But now I can see they've already moved on, you know, and there's lots more to discover. So I think that would be a very exciting exhibition to do when we can, of course, with COVID restrictions and so on. But of course, we visit museums and other places of interest. But I think that would be one of the things to do either this year or next.
Thanks, Pat. I also heard that, you know, you've just published a book, Amazing Women. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? It sounds fascinating.
Yes. The idea about the book Amazing Women came because we had a member who wrote every month a section which we called our Calendar Girl. Now, of course, the Calendar Girl is not a number three kind of girl. And she did these interviews with women and their history, their story. And she was a very, very good writer, because she got out of, in these interviews, a whole development of women during their education, their qualification, which often were quite difficult, because when these women were young, it was expected they get married and that's it. And then they often developed further on. And out of these 46 interviews that she did, we decided already last year that we would make this a book for our anniversary. Then Jeanette and Howell, the author, died and at the end of last year, very suddenly. So we now have dedicated the book not only to the anniversary, but also to her honor. And it has turned out to be truly a book of living history of the development and of the of women, but also of how they overcome obstacles, which I think makes it such an interesting book. And many of the members actually discover through the interviews their co-members, which they have known for years, but Jeanette managed to get new stuff out of them. So it's an interesting book. Unfortunately, though, because you asked the question whether we can sell it, we don't have the agreement of the members. It's an internal book, and we cannot make this publicly sellable.
But I guess if somebody's interested, they can always contact you, of course.
Certainly.
Yes, to find out more. Is there anything else you would like to share with our readers and listeners about, you know, about your organisation, about your membership and about your activities?
Indeed. I was just thinking about a couple of our past talks, which I thought I'd mention because personally, I found them so interesting and so did many of our members. One was by Celia Sapa, who is a glaciologist at the ULB, and she had returned from an exhibition to Antarctica, and she came to talk to us to tell us all about this exhibition and their findings. Another one was by Professor Stroy de Zweiland, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, who is a specialist in international relations and geopolitics. And he talked to us about the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative. And we would certainly like him to come back sometime soon and tell us what he thinks about the Chinese now, because it really was fascinating. But our other things that we would be of interest maybe is that we share our talks and events with other English-speaking clubs in Brussels via Zoom, or they're welcome to come in person. One of our board members is a published author, Larissa Doctorow, who reports on our speakers' talks for her newsletter and does a sort of resume of what they've said for people who couldn't be there or couldn't be on Zoom. And our own Angela, who we have here, writes a description of her visits to unusual or not so well-known gardens, museums, and other places in and around Brussels, which she visits herself and then does a little resume of them. So we are known within the Brussels people who know about us that we have the most interesting newsletter of all of them.
Well done for that. I mean, it's quite clear that, you know, you're on a kind of mission to learn more about Belgium. Is that right? I mean, and you've clearly been here for many years, I presume. But, you know, yes. I mean, why is it so important for you to continue to learn more about our host country?
Well, it makes you feel at home. You know, I've been here for more than 30 years. And this is my home now. And I, of course, I've got Belgian citizenship. And I'm very, very close to my Belgian friends. I just want to know where my home, you know, I want to get to know my home. And I'm sure Angela feels the same.
And for me, it's, and of course, now I'm retired and I can afford, because I've lived in Belgium over 20 years, but I always worked, and actually mostly worked outside Belgium. I traveled a lot to the US, to Australia, and here and there, now Europe. Now that I'm retired, I travel around this country, and I can tell you it is an amazing country if it comes to museums and exhibitions. This is really well-kept private little museums in the middle of nowhere, about flux, about glass production, about water, with private art collections. And this is so astonishing. And using this wonderful Museums Pass magazine, that you'd, I can discover endless interesting museums and exhibitions. And that's, and I find there are always people. So, you know, Musée de la Fraise, we went this summer. Wonderful. You know, how does one find it? I'm not sure. I must admit, I don't know about whether Germany has this kind of many museums. I suspect not, actually. I suspect this is something special in Belgium.
Yes, I think I would probably agree. It's a small but continually surprising country, isn't it?
Yes,
for that reason. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
If we hold our talks at the Chateau Saint-Anne these days, of course, because the American Women's Club is sold and blah, blah, blah. But there we have a half hour of coffee beforehand to meet new members if they come and get to know them a little bit and to chat amongst ourselves too before the meeting, and many people get together and go out to lunch afterwards. So
it's you're very social.
We welcome guests.
It's a very pleasant
we welcome guests. So and we have a guest fee, but we welcome guests, and often the guests then become new members.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, last but not least, we opened up our club to men. Mm-hmm. What, 3-5 years ago? I don't know, five years ago now?
No, 2 years ago.
Is it 2, 3, or 4? I don't know. Anyway, I think we've got 2. Do we have 2?
But you're always on the lookout for more, I imagine, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes, it's always for the other sex.
If they're interested, yes.
Okay, that's great to hear. Well, thank you, Angela and Pat, very much for talking to the Bulletin. It's fascinating learning more about your group, and we wish you continuing success with all your activities. And please keep the Bulletin updated. You know, don't hesitate to share any events with us.